The Guardian.
The following episode of Chips with Everything is family friendly, and we recommend that you listen with children.
'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was staring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in the hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there.
You've probably heard this poem, read beautifully here by my wonderful colleague Greya. Maybe you even read it, as many families do, every Christmas Eve. It was first published in 1823 and tells the story of a man who wakes to a clatter and, while his wife and children sleep, watches Santa as he lands on the roof, comes down the chimney, laughs with his belly like a bowl full of jelly, delivers the presents, and, famously, exclaims, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night." Nearly 200 years later, we are still telling stories about people who try to catch a glimpse of Santa on his busiest night of the year. Producer Danielle remembers the advert for Kellogg's Corn Flakes in the 1990s, in which a small blonde girl awakens to find Santa eating the bowl of cereal she and her siblings have left for him. This year, Netflix released a movie called Christmas Chronicles, and in it, a little girl and her big brother use an old video camera to spy on Santa through a keyhole. And right now, there is a huge team of people using top-notch tech to track Santa and his sleigh. On Christmas Eve, no matter where you are in the world and what time it is for you, the North American Aerospace Defense Command will be tracking Santa's whereabouts so that you can know exactly when to expect him and his presence.
NORAD's mainstays, as far as tracking Santa goes, are essentially tied into our defense systems. That's the radars, satellites, and the jet fighters.
I'm Jordan Erica Weber, and in this very special Christmas episode, we're learning how to track the big man himself, Santa Claus. This is Chips with Everything.
It is getting quite busy, actually. We prepare for this all year, and while we do conduct regular operations 365 days a year, on the 24th we have an extra mission, which is, of course, monitoring and tracking Santa Claus.
Captain Cameron Hillier is a member of the team that has been working hard throughout December to build the right technology that will help them track Santa Claus. The team has been tracking Santa for a long time.
NORAD itself has been tracking Santa for 63 years to include his predecessor as CONAS, so the Continental Air Defense Command.
As Cameron explains, the story of how and why NORAD started tracking Santa goes back decades.
Well, it all started by happenstance in 1955 when there was a local ad printed in a paper where a child had misdialed the number, and instead of calling to talk to Santa Claus and discuss his wish list, he actually got the officer on duty, which is Colonel Harry Schaut, at the predecessor to NORAD, CONAD, Continental Air Defense Command. Once Colonel Schaut had determined that there was a mistake, and he assured the child that CONAD at that time would ensure that Santa had a safe flight around the world.
How come NORAD still tracks Santa every year, still so many decades later?
Well, it was an initiative started by Colonel Schaut, starting on that night. He told his crew that night that if there are any additional calls come in from children, basically to do as he did, as to assure the folks that Santa would have a safe flight around the world. And he continued that in the years following, and NORAD just picked it up in 1968 when it was formed, and we've been continuing on ever since.
Now, this is not a simple operation. As you can imagine, tracking Santa and taking calls from thousands of children takes a lot of time and effort, and many, many people.
So we have about 1,500 volunteers that lean in and support this program. So when children call in, they'll be talking to one of these folks. And typically, they're military members from NORAD, or U.S. Northern Command, here in Colorado Springs. Also, we have their family members who lean into support. In addition to that, we have folks from the local community at Colorado Springs who volunteer their time and answer questions as well. In addition to that, we even have folks that come from out of state to support the program, and they make it what it is every single year, and the children who call in keep bringing them back. There are a whole bunch of things that go on through the night that just brings a smile to everybody's face, and so that's the reason why we have a lot of repeat volunteers.
So I imagine a lot of kids must want to ask you about Santa. So how many calls and emails do you tend to get each year, and is the number going up?
Well, we received 126,000 calls last year, and that is despite some technical difficulties. We had so many calls it actually crashed the system, so we had to kind of finagle some things really quickly to kind of get the system back up. So we stand this year to improve on that number because we've improved the infrastructure so that we can take more calls from all around the world, and we have better infrastructure to help support that.
Activities on the Santa Tracker website begin on December 1st. As you all know, producer Danielle and I have been following it closely, and so far we've seen a lot of activity at the North Pole as the elves have been busy working on all the presents. If you don't think you'll have time to call in on Christmas Eve, the NORAD Santa Tracker website even includes a guide with videos that answer some of the questions that have already been asked. Elves and reindeer have the answers to questions like,
when is Santa's birthday?
Is Santa allergic to cats?
What is Santa's favourite cookie?
When should I put out reindeer food?
You can even ask the elves to tell Rudolph you said hi and that you like his nose. I'm particularly interested by the games that you have on the Santa Tracker website, which looks like one for each day of December leading up to Christmas Eve. Is that meant to be like a kind of advent calendar?
That's exactly what it is. They're basically a countdown to the NORAD Track Santa event on December 24th. And having played those games myself, they are surprisingly challenging.
What's your favorite?
I think maybe that ski one. Even though you can't possibly hit all the flags on the way down, it moves pretty smoothly, and while I myself am not keen to go skiing in real life, I'm quite happy to live the virtual world there.
After the break, we'll look ahead to Christmas Eve and Santa's busiest day of the year.
So we had Santa here at NORAD to actually do some test flights in some fighter aircraft.
We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast fans.
Looking for something fun to do over the festive period?
Maybe you or someone you know got a Google Home as a gift.
Well, we want to tell you about the Guardian's Year in Review, a project we've been working on with the Voice Lab.
It's a fun, interactive review of some of the Guardian's biggest and oddest headlines of 2018. So, if you've checked out the Guardian's podcast this year, we think you'll enjoy Year in Review.
To play, just say, "Hey Google, talk to Year in Review." Bye for now.
Bye.
Welcome back to this very special Christmas episode of Chips with Everything. I'm Jordan Erica Weber. This week, we're finding out how to track Santa Claus. Captain Cameron Hillier of the North American Aerospace Defense Command has been telling us how his team has been getting ready for a busy Christmas Eve at headquarters.
I guess for the team writ large, the morning starts about 2:30 in the morning, mountain time. So that's us getting in and getting ready to accept satellite trucks, and so that we can also host calls from around the world. At about 4 o'clock, all the volunteers start pouring in, and we have about 170 personnel per shift. So we have rotations throughout the day, starting at 4 a.m., going right up until midnight.
Okay, let's find out a bit more about how this actually works. How NORAD actually manages to track Santa.
Well, that is courtesy of our Santa cams, which are positioned strategically around the world. However, NORAD's mainstays, as far as tracking Santa goes, are essentially tied into our defense systems. That's the radars, satellites, and the jet fighters. So the radars are the first thing that detects Santa's movement from the North Pole. We have about 47 radar installations strung along Alaska and the north of Canada. So once they detect his movement from the North Pole, and he proceeds to the eastern hemisphere and he moves at a radar range. We transition then to our satellites, which are positioned about 22,000 miles above the Earth. And typically these satellites are used to monitor ballistic missile activity around the globe to determine whether they're a threat to Canada or the US. And their ability to detect heat actually detects Rudolph's nose on Christmas Eve. So with their positions at 22,000 miles above the Earth, we can position them to monitor Santa's movements around the globe until finally he approaches the Western Hemisphere and to Canada and the U.S., at which point we have jet fighters escort Santa through Canadian and U.S. airspace as he delivers presents throughout these two countries.
How hot does Rudolph's nose have to be for the radar to pick it up?
That particular information is classified, however, because of the glow, it's more than enough, and it provides a significant heat signature that we can detect through most weather phenomena.
As we all know, Santa has to move very quickly to get to all the children around the world in just one night.
It does make it tricky, especially for the jet fighters. I mean, for the radars and the satellites, they can detect those movements, and because they provide a track and an altitude, it makes it a lot easier to determine where he is and where he's going. And since he does tend to move from the Eastern Hemisphere to the Western Hemisphere to chase twilight, as it were, it becomes extra tricky, of course, when we transition to the jet fighter piece, where he has to slow down fairly significantly. But according to our jet fighters, they need to travel about Mach 1.2 just to keep up. However, even they acknowledge that he can travel way faster than that.
Has the technology ever failed you? Have you ever lost Santa?
Well, I mean, certainly there have been times when we need to kind of, swing from one monitoring station or one radar system or one satellite system to another in order to maintain a consistent track. And as fully acknowledged, Santa does move at a super extraordinary speed. So we need to be very light on our feet and making those adaptations on the fly.
Has Santa himself ever called into NORAD about his journey?
We've had Santa here at NORAD to actually do some test flights in some fighter aircraft. While Santa was very generous in saying that the fighter aircraft were very capable and high technology and extremely fast, we have to tip our hat, of course, to Santa himself and his technology as far as the sleigh and the reindeer go.
So you must be experts on Santa's journey by now. Can you give us more details on where exactly he goes? So where does he start and where does he finish?
Well, I mean, obviously he starts from the North Pole. But as far as the route itself between the North Pole and the Wake Islands in the Pacific, the route changes every year a little bit. And that's basically Santa just making accommodations for weather and other phenomena. And, of course, our feeding back to him as far as what sort of obstacles remain in the way of what could potentially lead to an unsafe flight.
Oh, goodness, so you've averted disaster before then for Santa.
Well, we like to think that we play a helping hand.
We did want to ask Santa about what kind of technology he uses to make sure he can cover such a huge distance in such a short amount of time. But unfortunately, he couldn't join us on the podcast. It is, after all, his busiest time of year. Of course, NORAD will be very busy too, with everyone at headquarters monitoring the technology and answering calls. Fortunately, social media has made it easier for anyone to get in touch and follow Santa's trail. And if you really want to get techie about it, you can even ask your smart speaker.
We also have Amazon Alexa. We had that skill accessed about 1.5 million times last year. It was just new last year, so 1.5 is a pretty strong start.
How do you ask Alexa where Santa is?
There are several voice commands you can use, but of course the most obvious one is basically, Alexa, where is Santa? And at which point, of course, it'll give you that answer.
Now, you and Santa obviously both work very hard in the month leading up to Christmas, but what happens on Christmas Day itself? Do you leave Santa and Mrs. Claus alone then so they can enjoy their Christmas dinner in peace?
once Santa departs the Pacific and moves to the North Pole, we don't spy on citizens, whether they be Canadian, U.S., or other. So we leave him be and let him more or less take the some well-deserved downtime. And we ourselves, we like to get back to our families and enjoy the season as well.
Well, Christmas is very nearly here, so we really appreciate you taking some time out from Tracking Santa to talk to us. Thank you very much, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Now that I know a bit more about how it all works, I'm looking forward to Tracking Santa on Christmas Eve. If you'd like to join in, just go to www.noradsanta.org and make sure to email us at chipspodcast@theguardian.com to tell us what you saw. But that's it for this week. Special thanks to my colleagues Greya, Simon, Jackie and Anna for lending their voices this week. Producer Danielle and I are off to stuff our faces with scrumptiously festive dinners and fanciful holiday treats. I hope you get to do the same and that you have a lovely holiday break. We'll be back next week to wrap up 2018. I'm Jordan Erica Weber, and to all of you, including, we hope, Santa, thanks for listening.
For more great podcasts from The Guardian, just go to theguardian.com/podcasts.